hey, check this out. There was this elderly lady, and she was well known for her faith and her boldness in talking about it, right, Lulin? Good answer. That's right. Check it out. Every single day she would stand out on her front porch and yell at the top of her lungs, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Right? You want to try it? Okay, you know what I'm talking about. That's right. Well, get this. Here's the problem, though. Next door to her lived this atheist, and he would get so angry at her proclamations every morning that after she was done, he would yell back, there ain't no Lord, lady. Well, one day, hard times set in this elderly lady, and she prayed to God to send her some assistance. And so she stood on her front porch that morning and shouted, praise the Lord. You're catching on. That's right. She said, God, I need some food. I'm having a hard time. Please, Lord, send me some groceries. Well, the next morning, the lady, she went out on her porch and she noticed a large bag of groceries there. And so she shouted, praise the Lord. That's right. Well, just then, get this. Her atheist neighbor jumped from behind a bush and said, ah, ha, ha, I got you now, lady. He says, there ain't no Lord. I bought those groceries. God didn't. Well, the lady, she starts jumping up and down, clapping her hands, saying, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. He not only sent me groceries, he made the devil pay for them. Praise the Lord. Oh, wow. How many of you guys would say that lady's faith there paid off big time? You know what I'm saying? Was that awesome or what? What happened there? She had so much faith in God. She saw with her own eyes how God will use even an atheist to do his bidding. Will he not? Bingo. But folks, unfortunately, here's the bad news. Did you know just the opposite is true with many Christians today? Here's what happens. Many Christians have stopped having faith in God, and now they're doing the devil's bidding by acting like a practical atheist. As we've been seeing, folks, the problem is that is half the time with our lips and our lives. What are we doing as Christians? With our lips and our lives, we're acting just like an atheist, as if God doesn't even exist. He's not even a part of the equation. As we've been seeing, this is not just detrimental in our walk with God. It can keep somebody else from coming to God. Therefore, to avoid this irony, you and I as Christians, living like practical atheists, by not knowing who God is, we're going to continue in our study from the Word of God on the character of God entitled, Who is God? How many of you guys got that memorized yet? By cracky, I do, but that's right, it comes in handy for me. But anyway, we've already seen, hello, the first thing you got to know, if you're going to stop acting as if God doesn't exist, like an atheist, hello, the first thing we saw, hello, he's what? He's real. The second thing, man, you talk about icing on the cake, God wants, what kind of a relationship with us? A personal one, it's incredible. The third thing we saw, that God is incredibly wise, he knows it all, he knows how to even turn everything we go through into a positive good. And the last five times we saw, the fourth thing we got to know about God is he's what? He's powerful. He's not just powerful. He is all powerful over all things at all times. And last week we began to explore the question, okay, Pastor Billy, for 3 weeks I saw what God's power is like. And then for 1 week I saw what God's power can practically do for me. But my problem we saw last week was, why don't I experience it? I know it's right there for me to tap into, so to speak, but why am I not experiencing it? And last week we saw the number one reason, you don't have to buy a book, go to a seminar, nothing, the number one reason why you and I as Christians miss out every single day on the power of God is simply because we don't love God like we used to. Whoa. Yeah, it wasn't funny, but boy, remember last week you clapped? Dude, get the video, it's hilarious. But anyway, it wasn't a good time to clap. We don't love God like we used to. And guess what? You missed out on the power of God. In other words, as we saw in Revelation chapter 2, you were being tricked and seduced into losing your first love for Jesus Christ. And we saw two ways that that could happen. You better wake up, folks, if this is you. Is number one, you stop having faith in God. And number two, you go further and you no longer pray to God. And we saw the whole premise with that is, hey, if you're not going to have faith in God, you're not going to pray to a supernatural God, do not expect to experience His supernatural power. It's that simple. Because we saw it's a slow process. It's not some demon come flying through the window. Oh no, I'm all messed up now with my walk with Jesus Christ. It's a little here, a little excuse there, a little compromise. Next thing you know, God's a million miles away. But unfortunately, folks, that's not the only sign to indicate we have been tricked and seduced into losing our first love for Jesus Christ. The third sign to indicate we've lost that love, folks, is when we no longer read the Word of God. Well, hey, that's just common sense in the flesh, right? Hey, if you don't want to have faith in God, you don't want to pray to God, what's the use of wasting your time and reading the Word of God, right? Hey, that's right, I'm using heavy-duty sarcasm this morning, but that's right, don't take my word for it. Let's open the Word of God so you don't feel too convicted. We actually got in here today. And turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, we're going to read verses 1 through 2. Classic passage here. It's very interesting, as you guys turn there. It's like the last 3 weeks, I kid you not, I don't know how many different studies, at least four different studies, it just so happens this exact text keeps coming up. And then again in today's sermon. Wasn't even planned. I don't know. My theory is maybe God's trying to get something into our heads. Hello. Okay, the purpose of reading the Word of God. How many guys have ever prayed a prayer like this? I knew what God called me to do. Anybody? Huh. All right, next week I'll preach on lying. How many of you guys ever pray, oh, I want to live a life that's pleasing to God? Anybody? Okay, bingo. This is exactly, here it is. Here's the solution. Let's take a look. Here's what Paul says. In view of God's incredible mercy, is anybody glad that salvation is free and clear in Jesus Christ? It's not up to our behavior? Not whether or not we can keep the Ten Commandments, because we can't? Anybody? Here's what Paul says. Therefore, here's the response. He says, chapter 12 there, he says this. Therefore, I urge you, Christian brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as what? Living sacrifices. Why? Because that's holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual, literal, logical act of worship to God. Well, how do we do it? Here's, break it down. It's very practical. Number one, do not conform any longer to the pattern of who? This world. But, on the other hand, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? Because that's when you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. Folks, it's obvious according to our text, if you and I want to live that life that's pleasing to God, if you and I want to discover His will for these lives, what do we got to be doing? Two things there. It's a two-pronged attack. Number one, you need to shut off the influences from this world. Don't let this world trap you in, box you in, mold you like a piece of clay. Do not be conformed any longer to this world system. That's what you used to do before you got saved. Number one. Number two, he says, then start renewing your minds with what? The Word of God, right? That's exactly what he's saying there. In fact, the picture that's being used here in the text, it's amazing. It's literally every single time that you and I as Christians, we take the time to immerse our minds, renew our minds in the Word of God, we are literally unbrainwashing ourselves from the brainwashing process of this world. Do you get it? And I don't know if you were like me before I got saved. Hello, Rhett, you were there, buddy. You used to witness to me. The issue is this, is that how many times, folks, I used to attack Christians and say, you're a bunch of brainwashed, stupid idiots. You're so intellectually inept, you've got to have some book tell you what to do. You're brainwashed. How many used to think that? But folks, this is how, as a born-again Christian, this is the only book that will unbrainwash you from the brainwashing of the world. Do you get it? It's a paradox. And that's what God says we've got to be immersing in our lives. How many of you guys would like to be unbrainwashed from the lies of this world? Anybody? Okay, and it's right there in the Bible. That's all we got to do. God made it very plain. But here's our problem. We talk about the Bible. We said we need to read the Bible. We believe in the authority of the Bible. We own several Bibles, but do we ever get around to reading the Bible? No. And so here's what happens, folks. Remember, it's a slow, gradual process over time. A little here, a little excuse there, a little compromise there, and over the time, instead of starting the day off with the Word of God, we renew our minds with the Word of man. Instead of starting off with a morning spiritual exercise, we dedicate it to physical exercise. And then pretty soon we come up with one of the biggest excuses of all. It's just like the prayer thing. Something like this. I know it's not here. It's a weird church down south. How many of you guys started praying for him? We come up with this excuse. We just say this. Well, hey, man, I'd love to. It's just I don't have time to read the Bible. How many of you guys heard that one? Huh? But folks, I'm telling you, just like with the prayer issue, it's one of the biggest lies from the pit of hell. Correct me if I'm wrong. Let's have a moment of truth here at NFBC. What I've learned over the years, it's not that we do not have time to read the Bible. We flat out do not take the time to read the Bible. Why? Because at the drop of a hat, we don't have a problem finding time to do all other sorts of things. Right? I mean, we drop hours into stuff, and then we say we don't have time to read the Word of God. Let me break it down for you. For instance, how about the morning ritual of watching the news or reading the newspaper instead of the Word of God? Ooh, preacher's gone to meddling now. How about that? Oh yes, folks, it might be worldly informative, but it's not spiritually inspiring. In fact, that's exactly what Paul said for you and I. He knew this was coming down the pipe. How many guys would like to enjoy the peace of God? Here's what you got to do. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Every day, folks, when you get up, that's my recommendation. Finally, brothers, whatever Paul says is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think. That means put it into your mind. Think about such things. Why? Because that's when the God of peace will what? That's when He will be with you. Now, folks, let me ask you the obvious question. Is the news broadcast, is it always true? I was going to say, if you believe that, I got a bridge in Lockport I'd love to sell you. It's over the historical Erie Canal, by the way. That'll help you purchase. No, folks, it's not. Is it pure? Is it lovely? How many times do I got to hear 14 more people got murdered before I realize, oh, gee, I think the world's kind of messed up? many times do I have to hear that? It's almost kind of getting morbid nowadays, right? Is it excellent? Is it praiseworthy? No, not in comparison to the Word of God. And here's my point. Then why in the world would we spend the majority of our time with Dan Blather instead of the Bible? Is he where we get our source of strength and peace from? People of God, wake up. Is the weather report more important than the weather maker? Is Oprah Winfrey more important than the Word of God? Who is the real source of power here? But that's not the only distraction in the words of man. Hey, whether it's physical exercise, whether it's that latest food diet, we don't bat an eye. We've been dropping hours, tons of research, spending time whipping these bodies into shape. Right, honey? Yeah. Yeah. Are you kidding me? Get this, man. This is a shocking statistic. Barna Research said 91%. 91% of adults consider good physical health. Listen to this. As the number one top priority in life, making it the highest rate of priority of all. Above spiritual things. It's all just having that perfect body. And folks, don't get me wrong, I believe in a well-balanced diet. I've said it before, I'll say it again. To me, the ultimate well-balanced diet is a cheeseburger in both hands. Hello. Watch out for those french fries, they can get it tilted, but you gotta be careful. You gotta have some skill there, okay? But here's my point, folks. I think not just the American people, but the American church has gotten off balance when it comes to physical care above spiritual care. And once again, Paul comes to the rescue and he warns us not to live like this. It will kill us spiritually. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8, Paul says this, spend your time, Christian. Spend your energy, Christian, and train yourself for what? Spiritual fitness. Why? He says, hey, hello, physical exercise. Yes, of course, it has some value. He says, but spiritual exercise is much more important. Why, Paul? Because it promises a reward both in this life and in the what? In the next. And people, this is precisely our problem. We have got it absolutely totally backwards today. We have allowed ourselves, yes, even as Christians, to become more concerned with external care instead of internal care. We're more concerned about the physical. Got to have them busters. Got to have those tight abs. And the whole time we're spiritually dying. We've got it totally backwards. And folks, don't get me wrong. Hell, there's nothing wrong with exercising and eating right. Just don't stop by my house. Okay? There's nothing wrong with that. But here's my point, folks, is that even these healthy things, that's not sinful. Here's the sin. These healthy things can become unhealthy if they steal away your time from the Lord. And that's why we got to ask ourselves, folks, as Christians, wake up. Is a low-fat bagel more important than the Bible? Is Richard Simmons more important than your Savior? Then why in the world would you spend the majority of your time just on physical care and not spiritual care? Where is the real source of power? People, come on, let's be honest. It's not that we don't have time to read the Bible. We just don't take the time to read the Bible. We spend our time on non-spiritual things. And just so you and I realize how radically we can be changed if we would just renew our minds with the Word of God, let's take a look and see what is done specifically for the founding fathers of our country. Hello, anybody glad you live in America? Here's what founded our country. Abraham Lincoln said this, I believe the Bible is the best gift God has ever given to man. All the good from the Savior of the world is communicated to us through this book. He's not alone. W.E. Gladstone said, I have known 95 of the world's greatest men of my time and 87 were followers of the what? Of the Bible. What made them so great? George Washington. Yes, George Washington said, it is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the what? Hello, that's our founding father, with the Bible. Daniel Webster said, listen to this, if there's anything in my thoughts or style to commend, the credit is due to my parents, get this, for instilling in me an early love of the what? Scriptures. He said, if we abide by the principles taught in the Bible, our country will go on prospering and to prosper. But if we in our posterity neglect its instructions and its authority, no man can tell how sudden a catastrophe may overwhelm us and bury all our glory in a profound obscurity. You want to know why we're falling apart? We've taken the Scripture out, folks. John Ruskin said this, whatever merit there is in anything I have written is simply due to the fact that when I was a child, listen to this, ladies, that my mother daily made me read a part of the Bible and daily made me learn a part of it by heart. W.A. Seward said, the whole hope of human progress is suspended on the ever-growing influence of the Bible. Get this, Patrick Henry said, the Bible is worth all other books which have ever been printed. Horace Greeley said, it is impossible to enslave mentally or socially a what? A Bible-reading people, meaning that if you don't read the Bible, you're headed back to slavery. We just read the text. Why did God give the commandments? He pulled them out of slavery. He was leading to a life of freedom.
It's the same thing, folks. Listen to this. He says the principles of the Bible are the groundwork for human freedom. Hello. Andrew Jackson said that book, sir, is the rock on which our republic rests. And Robert E. Lee said, in all my perplexities, in my distresses, the Bible has never failed to give me light, and it's never failed to give me what? Strength. Now, folks, maybe it's just me and Rich up here, but I think maybe the founding fathers, hello, they benefited a little bit from reading the Word of God. How about you? And apparently they got not only the power to form our great country, the U.S. of A. Hello, they got the power to transform their lives every single day. How many guys would like to have that power? Where does it come from? How many angles do we have to go on this thing? And people, this is the great news. Reading the Bible didn't just work for those guys in the past. Hello, it's the same scripture today. It works for you and I today. And I'm telling you, folks, as long as you and I refuse to crack open the Bible, renew our minds, we are headed back to that slavery. We are going back not just spiritually, but socially in our country. We're going back to slavery. That's part of the ruse that's being played on us. They've taken the Word of God out of everything. And then we, the church, we have the audacity to take it out of our hearts. No wonder we're going down the tubes. We don't need revival in America. We need revival in the American church. We've got to get back to the basics, folks. And I'm telling you, as long as we do this, it's self-inflicted. We are just causing ourselves unnecessary pain, unnecessary torment. But in folks, Bible reading has to become. It's not about legalism. It's how bad do you want that victory in Christ? How much do you really love Him? How much do you really want the power of God to be used through you to make a difference in our country? Will we be that church that God will use to rise up to change this generation? Are we going to wait for some other church to do it? It's got to become a daily press in our life. No excuses. Get this. Just like it was for this guy. Pay attention. There's a guy recently in Kansas City, man. He was severely injured in an explosion. Get this. His face was badly disfigured. He lost his eyesight as well as both of his hands. And what made it worse is he had just become a new Christian. And one of his greatest disappointments is he can no longer now read the Bible. But then one day, he heard about a lady in England who read Braille with her lips. And so hoping to do the same, he sent for some books of the Bible in Braille. But much to his dismay, get this, he discovered that the nerve endings on his lips had also been destroyed by the explosion. So one day, as he brought one of the Braille pages to his lips, his tongue just happened to touch a few of the raised characters, and he could feel them. And so in a moment, in a flash, he realized. He says, I can do it now. He says, I can read the Bible using my tongue. And in just a short amount of time, at the writing of this article, this man had already read through the Bible 4 times with his tongue. Maybe it's just me, but man, if anybody ever had an excuse, well, I can't read the Bible. It's got to be this guy, right? Gee whiz! But what did he do? He hungered for the Word of God so much so he figured out how to do it with his tongue. He knew where the source of power came from in the Christian life. And so I ask you guys the question, all of us, myself included, how about us? Do we long to read the Word of God that much? No? You better wake up. Why? Because think about it, folks. How in the world? This is the mental, social slavery going on. How are you and I ever going to know if we're being lied to if we never get acquainted with the truth? How are you and I going to be protected from the liars and the false teachers out there who want to rip you off and lead you straight to hell unless you know what the Bible says? God's the authority on these issues. People, when are we going to realize that the only way to fight the tooth decay in our society today is to brush up on the Bible every single day? And if you come across a person whose Bible's falling apart, it probably belongs to a Christian who's not. That's how important it is. But not only that, folks, wake up. It might be a sign. You really are, and you have been tricked and seduced into losing your first love for Jesus Christ. And you're going to miss out on the power of God. Make me cry every time, too. That's not all, folks. Unfortunately, it gets even worse. It goes worse as we go. The fourth sign to indicate we've lost our first love for Jesus Christ. Hey, we're no longer obedient to God. Hey, I mean, it's only a logical conclusion, right? Yes, sarcasm coming up right there. On a plate. Here we go. Golden platter. Hey, if you don't have faith in God, you don't pray to God, you don't read the words of God, what's the point of being obedient to God? This is just a game, right? No, it's not. Unfortunately, we need to be reminded that. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 through 14. I love this book. Many people say, man, this book is depressing. Are you kidding? This is Americana written all over it. Solomon, he tried everything. Read it, man. He tried the wine, the women, the song, the entertainment. He says, man, that's not it. I tried all that to its fill. That's vanity of vanities. He tried great education. He says, no, that's not it either. He tried great building projects. Now, that's not it. He tried amassing more wealth than anybody ever in the history of humankind. He said, no, that's not it. He said, here's my conclusion. Tried everything under the sun. Here's what life is all about. You want to have a fulfilling life? Here it is. He said, here's my final conclusion. Fear God and obey His what? Obey His commands. Why? Because this is the duty of every person. Why? Because, wake up, people, God will judge us for everything we do, including every what? Secret thing, whether good or bad. Folks, if you want to know what the Christian life is all about, it's right here in our text. You don't need to go to that seminar. You don't need to buy the book. Save your cash. God narrowed it down to two things. Number one, you need to fear God. You need to obey His commands, right? Why? Because wake up, if we really believe this, folks, including myself, not one of us here could leave this place the same. That we're going to stand before an almighty God and give an account for every word, every deed we've ever done. We would radically be changed. He says right here, folks, God is going to judge everything we do, whether good or bad. You might think you've got that thing hidden in secret from your spouse, from your loved ones, from your family, from your preacher, from your church, but God sees it. God sees every single thing, folks. There's no secrets with Him. And here's our problem. We talk about obedience in the church. We encourage each other to be obedient. We say, yes, it's great to be obedient to God. Name one command that's bad for us. It's all for our good. But do we ever get around to being obedient? No, and here's the process once again. It's not a demon come flying through the window. It's a little excuse here. It's a little compromise here. Won't hurt nobody. Nobody will know about that. And so over time, you lose your fear of God. And so the next thing you know, folks, you are more afraid of man than you are of your Maker. You're more afraid of what your friends might think. You're more afraid of what your family might think. You're more afraid of your employer instead of your Creator. And folks, I'm telling you, once the fear of God is superseded by the fear of man, you are not going to be obedient to God. In other words, to use the Christian phrase, you will backslide. And people, I'm telling you, the problem with backsliding is, as we just read, it is going to be judged in the future. God knows it all. He sees it all. And folks, but not only that, it's got serious consequences for you and I today. Like these guys learned. Listen to this. True story. A winter ski resort in Colorado posted signs instructing skiers to stay off, keep off of a certain slope. The signs were extremely large, very distinct, very big, huge, bold letters. It simply says, danger, out of bounds, stay out of here. But in spite of the warnings, several skiers went into the area and the result was a half-mile avalanche happened and buried four of the trespassers beneath tons of snow and rock and they died. And the point is this, the tragedy never would have happened in the first place if what? If they just heeded the warning, which, by the way, was for their good, right? And people, this is the same thing with you and I, with God's commands. Again, name one that's bad for us. For our protection. But somehow the world and society thinks, oh God, he's just trying to ruin our day. He's trying to rain our parade. Being a Christian is boring. You never get any fun. Are you kidding? What's fun about adultery? What's fun about stealing and going to jail? What's fun about drunkenness? What's fun about immorality when you wake up and you got AIDS? What's so fun about that? Every single one is for our protection, people. That's the lie from the enemy. And how sad it is that many Christians today, we're walking around with an avalanche of problems. We're suffering under tons of pain. Why? Because we've been tricked and seduced into losing our fear of God. We're more afraid of man than we are our Maker. And folks, we've got to learn that the cost of obedience to God is nothing in comparison to the cost of disobedience to God. The cost of obedience to God is nothing in comparison to the cost of disobedience to God. You cannot backslide without suffering. And backsliding begins when obedience stops. People, it's not that hard to figure out. If you refuse to read the words of a supernatural God, if you refuse to obey a supernatural God, then do not expect to experience His supernatural power. It's that simple. But it might also be a sign to indicate you have been tricked, you have been seduced into losing your first love for Jesus Christ. Wake up! It doesn't happen just back in Revelation chapter 2, 2,000 years ago. It happens to you and I today. But folks, I'm telling you, here is the great news. As soon as you and I can turn away from these temptations, just get back in there and start renewing our minds with the Word of God. Start being obedient to God, just like we used to when we first got saved. Guess what? He's not going to hold us at bay. He's not going to be a big old meanie. He's a loving, merciful Father. Read the prodigal son. As soon as he even turned in the Father's direction, as soon as he saw him, the Father ran, hightailed it to the son, grabbed him, scooped him up. And wherever you're at today, folks, I'm telling you, just run to the Father. Today. Run to the Father. He's willing to scoop you up. Why? Because when you and I truly believe, folks, that our Heavenly Father is watching over us, it's going to empower you to live a life beyond your wildest dreams just like that, if we really believed it, like this guy found out. True story. In Columbia University, they had a great football coach. His name was Lou Little. Anybody hear him? He's little known, but whatever. Lou Little. Get this, true story. One day Lou had a boy try out for the varsity team, and he really wasn't very good. But Lou noticed there was something unique about this guy. While the boy wasn't nearly good enough to make the team, he had such contagious enthusiasm that Lou thought, he'll never be able to play. But I'll just leave him in on the team just to encourage the rest of the people. Well, as the season went on, Lou began to develop a tremendous admiration and love for this boy. And one of the things that especially impressed him was the manner in which this boy obviously cared for his father. Whenever the father would come for a visit, the boy and his father would always be seen walking together arm in arm, an obvious indication of their bonds of love between them. And he says they could always be seen on Sunday going to and fro from the university chapel. He said it was obvious that theirs was a deep and mutually shared Christian faith. And he said this, he said one day, true story, he said a call came to Coach Little. And he was informed that the boy's father had just died. And would he be the one to tell the boy? Well, with a heavy heart, Lou informed the boy of his father's death, and immediately the boy left to go home for the funeral. But get this, a few days later, though, the boy returned to campus only 2 days before the biggest game of the season. And Lou went to him and says, is there anything, son, I could do for you? Anything at all? Get this. To the coach's astonishment, the boy said, Coach, let me start the game on Saturday. And Lou, he was taken aback. He thought, man, I can't let this kid start. He's not good enough, not right before the biggest game of the year. But he remembered his promise and to help and said, all right, son, you can start the game. And he thought to himself, I'll just leave him in for a couple plays and then I'll take him back out. Well, get this, the day of the big game arrived, and to everyone's surprise, the coach started this boy who had never played the game in the whole season. But imagine even the coach's surprise when on the very first play from the scrimmage, that boy was the one who single-handedly made a tackle that threw the opposing team for a loss. Get this, true story. In fact, he played so good that Lou left him in for the entire game, and the boy eventually single-handedly led his team to victory, and he was voted outstanding player of the game. And when the game was finally over, Lou approached the boy at Columbia University and he said, son, what in the world got into you today? What made the difference? And the son said this. He says, Coach, do you remember my father? When he would visit me here at school and we would spend a lot of time walking together arm in arm around the campus? And the coach said, yes, I remember. Listen to this. And the boy continued. He said, well, you see, Coach, my father and I shared a secret that nobody here knew nothing about. You see, Coach, my father was blind. And today, looking down from heaven, was the first day he ever got to see me play. That's what made the difference. And folks, I'm here to tell you it's the same with you and I. If you and I would really believe that our Heavenly Father is watching us from above, we will be empowered to live a life just like that, beyond our wildest dreams. But it starts with having faith in Him. It continues with praying to Him. It continues with reading the words of God and having more fear of Him than this world system. We've just got to get simply back on track. And folks, I'm here to encourage you. Don't let the enemy rob you of the victory we have in Jesus Christ. Believe that God is watching you and you will be empowered. You will leave this sanctuary. Radically change. Living a brand new life. I don't care how long it's been. In Jesus Christ. And how many guys would like to have that kind of victory today? Let's pray.
Well, hi, this is Pastor Billy Crone of Niagara Frontier Bible Church, and I hope you enjoyed today's sermon. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Well, before you answer that, let me share one final thing with you. The Bible says that God is holy and that we are not. The Bible says that all of us, including myself, have fallen short of the glory of God. And that the wages of our sin is death. We don't deserve to go to heaven. We deserve to go to hell. And since we have a problem, we don't want to admit this. God, out of love, sent us something called the Ten Commandments, His law, to show us that there's no way in the world that we could ever make it to heaven on our own. Let's take a look at a couple of them. The Bible says that you shall not lie, ever, not once in your life. How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Well, for those of you who didn't raise your hand, yet just proved my point. That would make you and I a liar before God. The Bible says you shall not steal. And if we're all honest with ourselves, we've taken something, even once, in our lives without permission. That makes us a thief. The Bible says, you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. And now the Lord's name has become a cuss word. We've broken that. The Bible says that makes us a blasphemer. The Bible says, you shall not commit adultery. If you think you're going to get to heaven on your own, you shall never do that. But hey, you might think, well, that's a piece of cake. I've never done that one. Really? Jesus said, if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you've committed adultery in your heart. One more. The Bible says, you shall not murder. And you might say, hey, no problem that one. I've never done that. Really? Jesus said, if you hate somebody in your heart, it's the same as murder in His eyes. Folks, that's just 5 out of 10 commandments. How are you doing? You're going to tell me that you're going to stand before God and you really think He's going to let you into heaven and He's going to ask you, hey, who are you? And you say, hey, God, let me in. By your own admission, I'm a lying, thief, blasphemer, adulterer, murderer. Let me in. Folks, God's not going to let you in. We don't deserve to go to heaven, folks. We have broken God's law. We deserve to die and go straight to hell. Here's the good news. God doesn't want you to go to hell. So He's pardoned you for your crimes. He wants to get you off of death row. And just like in real life, a person can get off of death row if they receive the governor's pardon. But just like in real life, a governor could write the pardon, even though the person's guilty of their crime. He could write the pardon and say, you don't have to go to the death penalty. But if they don't receive that pardon from the governor, they will still go to the death penalty. Folks, that's what God has done every day to everyone all over the world. Jesus Christ took the death penalty in our place. And every day that a person's alive, God is reaching out to them, asking them, pleading with them, please receive my pardon for your crimes. Please don't go through with the death penalty. Hey, if you're here today and you want to make sure that you're going to heaven, you need to receive God's pardon for your crimes through Jesus Christ. If that's you today, then maybe you could pray something like this. Dear Jesus, I know that I have broken your law. I am a sinner. I agree that you are holy and that I am not. And I'll never make it to heaven on my own. Please forgive me, Jesus, of all my sins. I believe that you died for me on the cross and rose again from the grave to pay the price for all my sins. I turn from my sins today and I turn to you. I trust in you, Jesus, and in you alone to take me to heaven. Make me into the person you want me to be. I surrender this life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, folks, if you really prayed that prayer and you meant it from your heart, I want to be the first one to congratulate you. Welcome to God's forever family. But that's just the beginning. When a person first gets saved, which is just what happened to you, the Bible likens you as a baby. And a baby needs food, they need nutrients, they need somebody to care. And that's why something important you need to do now is to find a good, healthy church in your area who can help provide that nourishment for you. Unfortunately, not all churches are very good churches, so if you have some questions, then please contact us and we'd be glad to help you out. You need to get a Bible. You need to read the Word of God. And that's where you're going to find out about God and His wonderful plan and the reason and what He has planned and saved you for. You need to find it out in there as well. You need to pray to God. He's with you now wherever you go as His child. And prayer is not something mystical or magical. It's just simply having a conversation with God wherever you go. And finally, you need to tell somebody else about your new relationship with God and how that they can know for sure today how they can go to heaven instead of hell through God's pardon through Jesus Christ. Well, this has been Pastor Billy Crone of Niagara Frontier Bible Church. If there's anything we can do to help you, please don't hesitate to contact us. Our information, our contact information will be coming up on the screen here shortly, and we'd love to hear from you. Remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.
Thank you for watching this presentation from Niagara Frontier Bible Church. If you would like to send us a letter or any other kind of postage, you can reach us at 5287 Bronson Drive, Lewiston, New York, 14092, or you can give us a call at 716-297-8783, or for email, office@niagarafrontierbible.com, Or you can visit our website at www.niagarafrontierbible.com.